about the Gemara began on Amud Aleph talking about the Kfer Kotish, and now we're over where it says Raymana Amar. Do you have Raymana Amar? Raymana Amar Zimni Nidavi Babi B'Toch Arba Amos. Raymana said that when do trees jump over a fence? Sometimes it's when they're within 4 amos of the fence. And sometimes that's due with the measure of 10 tfachim. What are these two measures? The Gemara is going to say now. So there's a standard measure of how many trees you can plant in a beis saw. A beis saw is approximately 500 by... how much is it? It's 2,500 square amos. Okay, 2,500 square amos, which is, I guess, 250 by 100. So the question is, how many you can have 10 saplings, 10 young trees, or 3 full-grown trees in that area. Okay? That's the amount you can have, the 2,500 square feet. So in that case, if you have 10 young trees in that area, if any of them is within 4 amos of the fence, it's considered that the fence is not an interruption to the other side. I should make that clear. If you have fences, trees on either side of the fence, within 4 amos of the fence, then the fence is as if it doesn't exist. The reason is because you need at least 4 amos to work around a tree. So therefore, if you don't have 4 amos between the fence and the tree, the fence has got to go. It's not considered to be a bona fide fence because it's too close to the tree to allow you to work around it. So therefore, the fence is not an interruption between the two sides of the orchard in the defining where the... finding where the pair ends. Okay?
Why do you want to work around the tree?
Hoeing, plowing, all those things you want to work around the tree. You need 4 amos. Get your cows in, your tractors. You need 4 amos, the oxen. To get to your tree, you need 4 amos around the tree. So therefore, there's less than 4 amos between the tree and the fence doesn't count. Or it brings down here any natural... boundary. Any boundary which discusses discussion, such as rivers and so on and so forth, they don't count as boundaries in that case. Okay? Because you need to somehow contravene those boundaries.
So the tree needs its space?
The tree needs its space. Now, another thing is this 10 fucking business. Vehein, shayubasoch asar fucking ben nof lemol nof. Also, when there are 10 in each in the base saw, again, they're the right proportion of trees in that area, you also need to have 10 tfachim. The 10 tfachim mean that you have to have the foliage within the 10 tfachim of each other, and then they interconnect. Now, I'm not sure exactly how this foliage works, whether it's the because you said in order for the foliage to interconnect over the top of the fence, it has to be that the foliage actually intermeshes, interlocks. Here, we're talking about the foliage coming within 10 tefachim of each other, so I don't know exactly how it's configured here to get within 10 tefachim. Maybe it's like this. In other words, they're parallel to each other. Let's see what Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says, I can't find the Pnei Moshe right now.
I know where I saw today. The Rosh Tzirileo. You have the Rosh Tzirileo there. You also have the Rosh Tzirileo in the back. You don't have it, but the Rosh Tzirileo in the back of the Gemara, you don't have to look at it inside. But I know that I saw the Peshat there and I forgot what it was. But he does say, see if I can find it quickly, in his Perush on Peah on page Hayom and Aleph, I think it is. What's the case here? Where is it here? Hamid Base. He says, and towards the bottom of the first column, he says, they have to be.
I mean,
No, it's further than that. It is... Yeah, he says that he says in the Rashi Releo on the other side of the Sefer, he says that trees have to be, if you want to be mitzayev two trees for peah, and there's a way they are go over the top of a natural obstruction, such as a rivulet or a stream or something like that, which is between them. So then, we said that when they go on top of a fence, so it has to be ser kotesh. It has to be that the foliages interlock. But when they go on top not of a fence, but rather of a natural obstruction, such as a stream or a river or a rocky outcropping, so in that case, even if they're within 10 tefachim of each other, the foliages, that's considered to be sufficient to give them the one chiyuv peah among all of them. Okay, so sometimes we talk about four amos. Whenever the trees are within four amos of the fence, so then it's considered to be that the fence is not there, and therefore we consider the trees to be connected. Sometimes we say that the yeshir is ten tefachim, meaning that the foliages, when they're within ten tefachim, are of each other, they all become one unit vis-a-vis the halacha of peah. Now, just to clarify this a little bit more, when we're talking about peah, we mentioned yesterday that a fence is a stronger interruption between orchards or between fields than any natural landmark topographical feature which is there. So to overcome the fence, you have to have Yisayar Kotesh. You have to have that the foliage of the tree interconnect. To overcome some lesser boundary between the fields, in that case, all you need is to have that the foliage is within 10 tefachim of each other. Okay? Says the Gemara, ul-charuvim b'chulei. Now, carobs, we said, have extensive root systems underneath the ground. So says the Mishnah that for carobs, as long as they're within reasonable distance of each other, they're considered to be connected. And we said that in the Mishnah there was a certain family who used to all the carobs which they had one side of the city. They used to take peah off of all of them together. In other words, one of the trees, they used to leave some of it for peah. For carobs, who sets the sides? The city sets them to sides, meaning that it said in the Mishnah that all the carobs on one side, they used to give one pair for all of them. So what determined what a side is? The city. On that side of the city, they would give one pair for all of their carobs on that side. The Rabbi Yossi Barbun said, Chobes Rabbi, in the house of Rabbi Yulem, Arba Badim, they had four olive groves, La Ruchos, they had four side city, Vein Nosim Uchol Badlifi Rucho. And not even by olives, not just by carobs, they would give for olives one tree for peah for all the trees on that side of the city. There were three trees in a row. Harishonim Roim Simtsoim. You have the two trees on the... It can also be talking about three orchards. The principle is you have three things in succession. So you have three trees, let's say. And the outer trees, both are within line of sight of the inner tree. And the inner trees, whoever it is, one tree or many trees, are in line of sight of the outer trees as well. However, there is no line of sight between the outer trees on one side and the outer trees on the other side. There's no line of sight in that direction. So in that case, Marfish Mina Roshim Alem Tsoim, you can take from either one of the ends on the middle one. You can take from the middle one on either or both of the ends. However, since the outer tree on one side is not in the line of sight of the other one, so therefore in that case you cannot take from the tree on one end on the tree on the other end. So this Gemara is going by line of sight. They don't have to be any closer than line of sight, but they must be within line of sight. And therefore, those trees which are not within line of sight, even if there's a connecting tree in the middle, it doesn't do any good. You have to take pay off of the different trees which are not of line of sight. However, if you do take pay off the middle tree, which can see both outer trees, then that's okay. All right? So far, so good?
What's blocking the line of sight? Sure. Is it a fence?
It could be distance. Oh, it could be a curve, you know, a bend or anything of that sort. Right. Say you have a city, right, and you have the city turns a corner, right? So you have a tree here, and a tree here, right? So you can't see from this tree to that tree. Okay?
Now, what if there's a river you could see there is a line of sight, but there's a river in between.
Right, we're talking about where there's no natural obstructions, just the line of sight issue. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. If somebody plants his field with one type of grain, even though he makes two harvests, two different collections of the grain, no simpeachas, he gives one pair for both times that he harvests. Zorish Naimin, if you have two types of grain in your field, Avo Bishuos says Skoranachos, even though you're harvesting all into the same silo, Nosishtepios, you have to give a pair from each type. Hazareas Sodeus Naimin Echitim, somebody plants his field with two types of wheat, Hasan Goren Achas, he makes them one Goren. Right, as again, as a rare Sodeus Naimin Echitim, so he plants his field, they have two types of chitim. Two types of wheat. They're both wheat. Now, it depends. A son goren achad, if he made them one harvest, no same peachas, he gives one payah. Yeah, a son shtei goren, if he makes the two types of wheat at two different times, no same shtei payos. He gives two payos. Mais, and the Gemara will go into this. Mais, and the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, if Nei Rabbi Nei Rabbi Gamliel. One time it happened, this is a fascinating Mishnah. One time it happened that Rabbi Shimon, from Mitzvah, wherever he was, planted for Rabbi Gamliel two types of grain, two types of wheat. And they didn't know what to do about Peah. So they went up, to Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. The Sholu, they asked, Omar Nachum Alavlar, Nachum the Sofer said, Mekubal ani mi Rab Meisha. These are obviously very ancient Tanoim. Nachum Alavlar, whoever heard of him before, right? It was one of the men of Sanhedrin. And he heard from Rab Meisha. Interesting Aramaic name, you know. It must have been a Babylonian. Shekib el Me'aba, we heard from his father. Shekib el Me'azugos, we heard from the Zugos, you know, Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef ben Yoechon, all those. Shekib el Me'anavim, we heard from the Vim, Malocha L'moshe M'Sinai. B'zorea Sadeh U'shnei M'nechitim, if you plant your field with two types of wheat. So then, also Gosan Gornachas, like we said previously, you made them one silo. Then, if they're one silo, no sin peachas, you give one peo. And son shtei gronos, you make them two silos, no sin shtei peos, you give two peos. And then, what is going to discuss? We're going to have a little bit of a garret on this issue, and you give them a little bit of alpha. It's two weeks.
Two different kinds of wheat, right?
Yeah. But it's two. It is, because they're both wheat. So they're both wheat, so you can combine them. If you did, they're combined. Okay?
First time the Gemara ever had the genealogy of
Halacha Moshe Mishnah? I don't know. It's certainly the first time in Shas. I mean, we began Shas from the beginning this time, right? From Brachos and then next to Sechlis Peah. Yeah, there are other places in Shas I don't remember offhand. Katzer Chatzi Egdo. Now, a person's growing Egdo, which is white wheat, and Shum Shmutis, which is red wheat in his field. So two types of wheat. What? It's probably a dark brown of some sort. You plant harvested half of your white wheat, the chatiya shmutis, and half of your red wheat. You were intending to make them all one silo. Then you change your mind. You decided to make them two silos instead, but you only cut all half of your harvest. Eino marvish mina agdo ala shmutis. You cannot take pear from the agdo, from the white on the red, on the shmutis. Lo b'tchila b'lo b'sof. Not at the beginning, meaning not from the stuff when he still had in mind to make it one gorin, nor, and certainly not, the lo basov, certainly not at the end when you already decided to make it two gronos. Now, with regard to the end, you decided not to pile them up in the same silo, you cannot leave peah, even from those parts of the field which you had harvested under the impression that you were going to make it one large harvest, one large silo, you cannot leave peah from one type on another type. Okay? Everything goes after your final determination, your final result. Okay? What happens the other way? You harvested half of your white and half of your red lasses based gronos with the intent to make two gronos. And then you chose your mind, change your mind. And you made them one silo. In that case, again, what do we say? You said we go after the end. We go after your final decision. Oh, if that's the case, you can be mafish from the egg dough, from the white on the red, because at the end you decide you're going to make them one silo. Not only that, there's even a kula based on this, since we always go after the end. So therefore it follows, mina egdo shebetchila, shmuti shebasov, shebetchila. In other words, even on the egdo, the white which you harvested, which the patch of white in your field which you began to harvest before you changed your mind, when you still intended to make them two separate silos, right, you could still take from one wheat and the other wheat, because in the end you decided to make them one large silo. So it can be considered to be combined retroactively. Okay? Mafish mina egdo ala egdo. When can you take from the white on the white itself, however, bishkila sadeu? If you finished your field with that intent. But if you finish your field with the intent to make one silo, then you can take from the egdo on the shmutis, from the shmutis on the egdo, and from the egdo on the egdo. However, if when you finish your field, your intent was in fact to make two silos, then, says the Gemara, tremendous chumrah. Avim lo kila sadeu, afilu mina egdo ala egdo eno mafrish. Well, actually, I translated that wrong. I apologize. He says that according to Ridbaz, that means that. Sorry, let me renege on that. So the Ridbaz says, what does it mean bishakila sadeu? It means that you can only take from the egdo on the egdo once you completely harvested your entire field. In other words, we do not let you take from the egdo on the egdo in the middle of the process. Why is that? Because this is a person who began his harvest with the intent to make two silos. Then he changed his mind and decided to make it one silo. Fair enough. We let him do that. However, since we're afraid that he's a waffler, we tell him, you know what? Don't take off any pay until you finish. Only when you finish, because then I say, I see that he made it one silo, he can take off from one on the other. But before he finished harvesting, he shouldn't take or set aside any pay. Not even from the egdo on the egdo, because we're afraid he's going to get mixed up and say, oh, this was the middle of the process. So maybe in the middle of the process, even when I haven't changed my mind, even if I want to do two separate silos, I can still take off from one or the other. So therefore, we start off with the wrong intent. We don't let him take off any payah until he absolutely finishes with the right intent. Okay? It's like a chumad rabbanon on him. Okay? It's okay? Lest he come to get mixed up. Okay? Again, I've been loki lost today. I feel him in egdo, egdo, in a mafish. Kotzer chati egdo, v'chol ha-shmutis. What happens if he harvested half of the egdo, half of the white, and chol ha-shmutis, all of the red? Lasos and goren achas, with the intent to make them one silo. V'nimlach, and now after he did that, now he decided, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. He's going to make the rest of the egdo into a separate silo. The rest of the red. V'nimach mason shtei gronos. In that case, mafish mina egdo ala egdo. He can take payah from the egdo on the egdo, because after all, it's the same type of grain. And v'chol ha-shmutis. Shasham Niftara. In that case, once he takes on the Egdo, on the Egdo, so all the Shmutis there is exempt. In other words, in this case, he's giving from the, he's giving from, in this case, he could take from the Egdo at, on the Shmutis, because when he harvested the Shmutis, he had in mind, and he finished all the Shmutis, he had in mind to make one gog silo with the Ekdo. So the entire Shmutis area of the field was finished under the impression that it's going to be part and parcel of the silo with the Shmutis, with the Ekdo. Now it happened to be that after he got halfway through the Ekdo, he said, I know I'm changing my mind. I'm going to make the, put the Ekdo into another one. And of course all the sheaves he already harvested he's going to put to the, into a separate silo, not together with the Shmutis. Okay, that should theoretically be a problem. However, he says here, the Gemara says that since all of the Shmutis had been done with the assumption that it's going to be part and parcel of the Ekdo, so therefore it already became completely subsidiary to the Ekdo. And whatever works for the Ekdo is going to work therefore by extension on the Shmutis. You see that? Before we said that where you didn't finish your harvest yet, and you change your mind in the middle, so then you have to finish your whole harvest before you go back and take even from the Ekdo on the Ekdo. But here, since the Shmutis is already finished, it's considered to be at least partially a kilos a day. You finish the Shmutis, and the Shmutis is subservient, is subsidiary to the Ekdo. So if whatever is going to work for the Ekdo is going to work for the Shmutis as well. Okay? There's a difference, to sum up. There's a difference between where I started off with the intent to do both separate and finish both together, where I don't let you take off the pay until you've completely finished both together, and where I started off with both together, and I finished one, and the other one I changed midstream, there I say that already the unification, which was forged by finishing one of them as a subsidiary or as linked to the other one, is sufficient that I can go back even before I finished and take from the Ekdo on the Ekdo and leave it for the Shmutis. Okay? Basically, it'd be nice if we could make charts, but it's, I don't think it's that confusing. The principle is that there's a takana de rabbanon, where we're afraid you're going to mix up to wait till the very end. Otherwise, everything just follows logical patterns. Okay. Yanko, you gotta wake up. I'm Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir said, B'shem Rabbi Yochan, and name Rabbi Yochan. In bus halacha, tachas yodcha, if halacha comes under your hand, you don't know what to make of it, what its nature is, do not push it off to some other matter. In other words, do not assume that it's incorrect. There are several halachas which are stated to Moshe in Sinai, and they're all embedded in the Mishnah, and we don't always know necessarily what to make of them, but they all are legitimate and come down to halachas of Moshe in Sinai. So if you find what is strange, don't push it off. Now, this is a very weird statement. The Gemara is going to explain it based on our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yovan, Rabbi Yovan said, V'yous. This is good. This is right, we're saying. V'yousi. Where do we see that? Kashnei min nechitim. We had a loch of too many chitim. There was a loch of too many chitim. Two types of grain. And nobody understood it. Nobody knew what that loch meant. It was in a Mishnah, and it was questionable. Nobody understood. At Shabba, Ilule Shabba Reb Nochum, who perished on. Had Nochum not come and told us that Shneimine, what it means, two types of grain. And he said it depends if you make one silo or two silos. He explained it, like we said before. If not for him, we wouldn't have known what it means. But the fact that now we found out what it means, this halacha, which in the Mishnah was previously incomprehensible, became comprehensible. For this, we see that if somebody tells you that there's halacha, Moshe Messina, X, Y, Z, and you don't understand what he's saying, and he might not understand what he's saying, nevertheless, who knows, someday you might come out to an understanding, somebody will tell you exactly what it means. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Zeir B'Shem Rabbi Abba said, Echtov lohem, lohem rubei torasi, I'll write for you most of my Torah, and then it says, kamo zarnech shava, they seem foreign.
Ask the Gemara, v'chiruba shel Torah nechtava, was most of the Torah written? It's not. Most of the Torah is Torah rapeh. Ella, mechubi mei advoim nidroshim min haksav. Rather means there are many things which are learnt out of the Torah shebiksav, min advoim nidroshim min hapeh. More than is learnt out from Torah shebal peh. Says more, whoa, what? There's more Torah shebiksav than Torah shebal peh? Fikini. V'kenu, is that true? Elakini, rather kenu. This is what the pshat is. Chavimi mein divat volim anidroshim min hapeh. More precious are those things which are learned verbally. Minat volim anidroshim min haksav than those things which are learned out or derived from that which is expressly written. Why Torah hapeh is more precious than Torah miksav? Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi says another drasha, very apropos for this parsha of Shavua. Echtov lachem rubei torasi. I'll write for them much of my Torah. Elu atochachos. These are the rebukes, the punishments. Afilu kein. Nonetheless, lo kimo zar nechshavu. Despite that, the Jews did not forsake the Torah and regarded as a foreigner. So echtav lachem rubei torasi, kimo zar nechshavu. That's the way to read the pasuk. I wrote for them most of my Torah. Do you think, in other words, many, many tough things, do you think they rejected the Torah as a result? They never rejected the Torah, despite all the tochochos which are written there. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yavin said, "Ilule kosafti ilcho rubei torasi." Were I to have written for you most of my Torah, which I did not do, says Hashem, "Lokomo zarnach shavu," would you not have been considered like foreigners? The goyim were also like that. Then that was the case. Ma'abinan lumos. What would be the distinguishing characteristic between us and the goyim? Elamotim sifreim. People would say, "Oh, these guys take out their books." Elamotim sifreim. These guys take out their book. Elamotim sifreim. These guys take out their parchments. Elamotim sifreim. These guys take out their parchments. Therefore, to stress the unique quality of Judaism, most of the Torah was given be'al peh. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chagai Amar b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. Rabbi Chagai said, name Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. Nemu dvorim be'peh, v'nemu dvorim b'ksav. There's part of the Torah which is said verbally, and part of the Torah which is given in a written form. We still don't know which one is more precious. El min matzev. How do we know which is more precious than that which it says? Ki al pi advoy ma'ila. This is Gemara getting also in the Bavli. Ki al pi advoy ma'ila karati tcha bris ves Yisroel. Based on these words, I wrought with you a covenant and with the Jewish people. Hadar mara. This clearly indicates to us that if the bris is on the words, osan shibe pechav even, those which are verbal are more precious. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yudan Reb Shimon Chadamar once said, "Im shamarta mashibe peh, if you kept that which was v'ra'ba'al peh, v'shamarta mashibe ksav, and you kept that which was written as well, and he kores itcha bris, I may make with you a covenant. V'im lav, and if not, in any kores imcha bris, I'm not going to make with you a covenant." That's one shot. V'charon Amar, the other one said, that was Rabbi Yechon, I guess. Rabbi Shimon said that im shamarta mashibe peh, v'kiyata mashibe ksav, if you keep that which is verbal and fulfill that which is written, amitamakabel schar, you receive reward. V'imav, and if not, amitamakabel schar, you not receive reward. Rabbi Shimon Levi, Omar Alei,
what's the difference? Is there any difference between shamarta and
I don't think so. Maybe there is. Maybe Shemarta is to preserve the tradition. To preserve it. And Kiyamta is to fulfill the mitzvahs maisius. So Shmira is more of a lashon of learning, whereas Kiyum is a mitzvah lashon of asiyah, of doing it, of performing. That could be. So it says, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Shmuel Levi says, a very basic principle in Torah. Now, I'm not sure I understand this line correctly, but I'll tell you I understand it. And if I'm right, I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But still a good shot what I'm saying. Says, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Aleim. Says in Torah a lot of times, Aleim, It says, sorry. So a lot of times the Torah could have said Aleim, and it says Ve'aleim. A lot of times it says in Torah Ko. Absolutely. Exactly. A lot of times it says in Torah Kiko, even though it could have said Ko. Ko Kiko. A lot of times the Torah could have said Devorim, and it says Hadvorim. What is this teaching us? It's teaching us these extra letters, the excess verbiage. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agada. Afilu mashu Talmud vasi gosos lahoros livnei rabo. Even of something which an older student will eventually say over in front of his Rebbe, Farnam Marla Moshe Misinai. It was already stated to Moshe Sinai. In other words, all the diukim in the Torah contain the sum total of all the Torah which is going to be given verbally in Torah Shabbat Peh throughout the generations. Okay? In all those nuances. Yes. We understand that that's how wherever Yekiva's Dorish Kitzrei Osios. He found that in the Gemara Menachos, that he found Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat Peh. That was his fat idea. Okay? Yesh davar, in this vein we say, yesh davar shiyomar odom reza chodesh. There are things that a person say, oh, look, this is a new thing. Who cry all alamim, it was already there. Meshiva chaveiro, reza chodesh of goyim, sorry, meshiva chaveiro, his friend tells him, v'aymelon, he says, simfari olamim, it was already previously. Where we find it alluded to in the Torah. Rabbi Zeva Shemeshmul said, "In lemeidim we cannot learn out, extrapolate. Lo min halachos. If one has halachos mishnasinai, we cannot extrapolate from one halachos mishnasinai and learn necessarily something else from it. Lo min halachos. Lo min agados. If one has agadata, we cannot learn out from agadata. Lo min tosfos. We cannot learn out halacha from toseftos. In other words, from brisos." Elamina Talmud, you can only learn halacha after you learn Gemara. Why is that? Because you don't really understand it unless you learn Gemara. Without analysis, there's no way of paskin it. So you're paskin halacha out of a kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It has to be analyzed before you paskin it, right? Unless it's explicit, of course, but if it's not explicit, it has to be analyzed. Tani Rav Chalifta, Chalafta, Ben Shmu Ben Shol, Rav Chalad Ben Shol taught us, He shnei minei chitim. What do you mean? In our Mishnah, we extrapolate. We say that there is in our Mishnah, is in a Braisa. I guess it's a brisa. The brisa says this tiny of chalafta and show who's naming echidim who's naming sarim. Chalafta and show extrapolated. The local machine says that where do we look into account, take into account the granos by two types of wheat? He extrapolated and said even by two types of barley. So we see an extrapolation based on a local machine, right? So the chor it's difficult. We just said he can't extrapolate except on Gemara. He can't extrapolate based on Halacha Moshe Mishnah. So what's his extrapolation here?
You know, go by the two different kinds of, you know, the wheat. What is that, the grain?
The grain.
And we don't go by that, though.
Yeah, we do. What do you mean we don't?
We do, huh?
Depends if he made it two silos or one silo. But the point is that he extrapolated from the Halacha Moshe Mishnah, which was stated by wheat. He used it also by barley.
What? Right. Two types.
So it's not like this mentioned when you sit, you know you're sitting, you still have
two types of things.
If I understand you correctly, the answer is yes. If I don't understand you correctly, I don't take any responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay? So once, when you go and have to leave pay on your field, ask me Halacha Lemaisa before you do it. But in any event, so he says, was stated not just about wheat but also about barley. They happen to forget it. Says the Gemara. So he reminded them. The Sprites reminded them that it was stated on both. The same thing. Wow, it says more about Tanina. Then we learn a Mishnah. Hamachlik b'tzoyim lachim lashuk u'mekayim yiveshim lagoren. It says that if you take dry, moist onions to the marketplace, and you're keeping the dry ones for a separate silo, that they're two separate types of requirements of pay involved. So we see here clearly that we extrapolate. You can't say that's a loch l'moshim. Sina yislach meimar shuk v'goren kacha is a loch b'yonish chachua. Can you say that that was part of the loch and they forgot it? So the truth is, I don't say what's so difficult. Yeah, could be that that was also part of the loch. In other words, we're, our kasha is, we see that they must have extrapolated from loch l'moshim b'sina, because otherwise, how could you have learned that onions, which are moist, are distinct from onions which are dry? Right? L'chore, that seems to be an extrapolation. And the Gemara doesn't answer that question. So I'm not so sure why it's so difficult. Let's say that's also part and parcel of the halacha. But who says it's distinct? So I don't know. But that's what the Gemara is asking, and the Gemara doesn't give an answer. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Shmuel said, Ein l'meidi min ha'aroya. If you get a psak halacha, you can't extrapolate from there and use it for some other issue. Can't extrapolate. Not how to extrapolate. Whatever it's said about, that's what it's said about. And no more. She'ein l'meidim min ha'maisa. That if you see a maisa take place, you can never extrapolate from that. Because you don't know all the factors how the maisa took place. Right? This concept of maisa rav, which we have of learning out for people's deeds, it's only if you understand fully what's going on. Not if you just see something take place. Who knows? Maybe that was an exception.
Yet we've been discussing mises all the time.
Oh, Rabbi Mona said, "Hoda the Tamar." When did you say that? Baudulo sover, where the person who observes it doesn't have the capacity to analyze it and understand what went on. But Rabbi Baud the sover, the person who observes the mises, has capacity to understand what went on. You can extrapolate from mises. Amar lei. So he said, he wanted to, somebody else said a different shot. I guess Rabbi Chaim and Shmuel said back to Rimona. Ben Savar ben Lo Savar be the plege. When, even a person is intelligent enough to understand it, if there's a machlokas, you can't learn out for a maisa. No, it's just because one person did a maisa doesn't necessarily mean he's correct and doesn't mean you understand it properly. Similarly, Barambahutu lo plige, in the case where they don't argue, also ben savar ben lo savar. You can follow the maisa even if you don't understand what's going on either. So he basically was rejecting, according to the gifts that we have in the Gemara, he was rejecting that chilk. He's saying, it depends. If it's something which is obvious and everybody knows, no machlok is about, then you can rely on the maisa. If it's something which is questionable, then you can rely on the maisa anyway. And whether you're a baal svar or not has nothing to do with it. But Raimona did say that it makes a difference whether you have the intellectual capacity to understand what's going on or you do not have the capacity. Okay? Yes. It's alluded to in the Torah. Are you going to tell me some right-wing spar which you once heard now which you don't like?
Never out of me.
No. One that you rejected. One that you rejected.
Very possible.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So it doesn't mean that I had this argument once with a certain individual in town about whether Moshe Rabbeinu was told everything explicitly. And
this is a famous
matter
with Rabbi
Kiva. Right, the Gemara, the Menachos. So it's quite clear to me that Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu was not told everything explicitly, but he was given the corpus of hints and allusions which would serve to, in which everything is contained.
Not just the framework.
Everything is there. It's not just the framework upon which it's built. It's all built. It's all there. It's just it has to be unlocked and revealed, and Moshe didn't necessarily have the keys for everything. Rabbi Akiva had some of the keys, but he was unlocking the doors which Rabbi, which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down.
And that still has the category of halacha
Moshe. Yeah, that would still be lim Moshe Mesina. We wouldn't call that halacha Moshe Mesina. That's nitan Moshe Mesina. But what's called halacha Moshe Mesina is this type of thing, like the two types of grain. A precise and specific halacha which was given down. So we say halacha Moshe Mesina in Gemara, we have a very limited definition of that, Lacha, which is given down from generation to generation until it was recorded in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. Whereas Nita, that when we say Torah was Nita al-Moshe Rabbeinu mi-Sinai, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Sinai, we're saying even that which is not a Lacha Mishnah, even to our Bonot, Asmachtas, they're all there in the Torah itself. Okay? Near Chanukah. So Gematria, Mikates, you know, the, all those things are did Moshe Rabbeinu know about Chanukah? There's no reason to say he did. Are there allusions in Mikates to Chanukah? There certainly are. So that is Nita and Moshe Messina, and Chanukah is going to eventually be given. Yes.
I just don't understand this.
Of what? They forgot. Not all of them forgot it. Nachum Alavler didn't forget it. So Rem Gamliel and remind them. Rem Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon and Isha Mitzvah, they didn't know that law. So Nachum Alavler reminded them of the extent of it. Yeah, that wasn't the case of Nar Mishnah. I apologize. But in this case, I'm not sure. Our case is talking two types of grain, two types of wheat. And they forgot the halacha, and Nachum Alavler reminded them. So here too, when Rav Shimon Chalapta says two types of barley, so the Gemara is saying that the pshat is that everybody knew at one time was two types of barley, some people forgot, he's reminding them that that's the halacha. Right, well, that's obviously true. Masorah, not everybody's always privy to the Masorah, that's why it's from their machloikzit. Okay? Says the Mishnah brother, a sodah should go through goyim, a field which is harvested by goyim. Now these are not goyisha workers of yours. We're going to see on the Gemara, but rather it was harvested by goyim on their own, or a sodah should get through. They would all belong to them. Sodah should get through at least from a field which is harvested by bandits, kasumul gemalim. Or camels broke down the sheaves, shavat ruach, or the wind did it, obeim, or an animal was trampled through, peturah exempt from pale. Katsa chatzi v'katsura listim chatzi. He did the first half, and the bandits did the second half. Peturah is exempt. Why? Shechova sakotir, the chiv of peah, of that which he harvested the first half, is in the kamas, that which is standing at the end. And who did the stuff which is standing at the end? The bandits, right? Katru alistim chetzer, but what if it's vice versa?
First year, the second half, right. But the listim did is not mechayev him. Who? Bit. Nibbled. Katzer chetzi or macher chetzi. If you harvested half and then sold the other half, halokeach nois apel akol, the buyers get paid for the entire field. Katzer chetzi biktish chetzi. If you harvested half and then you sanctified the other half, hapoyim mi hagizbor nois apel akol, the person redeems it from the gizbor, he gives pay on the entire field. Okay. That's Midr Abonon, obviously, because Midr Rice it's exempt since the Ksira was being done by Hekdesh. But Midr Abonon, he has to get paid. Masisa Bishakitsru Latma. This is our mission to about where they harvested for themselves. Avokitsru Ali Sroel Chayeves. This is where the Goyim harvested on their own. Yankel, you're not with us tonight.
Yes.
Okay, Masisha Katsu Latma. Our mission is where the Goyim harvested for themselves. Avokitsru Ali Sroel, but if they harvested for Yisroel,
there are workers, you know, Jews don't do menial labor. Is the goyim doing the menial labor for the Jews, chayeves, then it's chayev and fair. Vitani Cain, and we learned also in the Braisa, ain't sochrin Pauline goyim, you shouldn't hire goyish workers. Ha! They didn't know about Palestinian laborers, did they? Ain't sochrin Pauline goyim, if they should aim beki and beleket. You don't want to take Geisha workers because they're not going to leave the lekka properly. Period. Masnis and Armish is talking about where the listim harvested shekatzula after where they harvested it and they took it away. They destroyed it or took it for themselves. Avakatzua shalola avdo. But if they harvested it not to take it away, meaning for some reason maybe they got scared and dropped all the sheaves there. Chayevis.
it's chayev.
In effect, you don't say that. It must be that one.
Now,
these statements were made, even if you don't.
Let me wait a few lines before I admit a major mistake. Am Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, even where the listim harvested the field without the intent of stealing it, without successfully carting the stuff up or destroying it, patur, it's exempt. Because its pay must be given on that which is mechuber to the ground. And the goyim harvested it. Yet at the same time, ain't karka nigzelus. The land is not stolen. So they harvested your land and took away the crops and stole the crops. Okay. Mivneshu mafrish, it's still your land, but they did the crops. Mivneshu mafrish ala mina koma ala koma. Because in that case, you're exempt because your responsibility is in your field to take from that which is standing and that which is standing. Mina koma kotzir, then from that which is standing and that which is harvested. However, veino mafish mina kotzir mina kotzir lo ala kotzir, for that which is already harvested, such as where the listim harvested and then fled, you cannot take off. Because you can't be mavish mina kotzir, lo ala kotzir, you can't take from the harvested, on the harvested, the lo ala koma, nor on that which is standing. Okay, now, all that tells us where even where the listim left you all the grain, since you didn't harvest it, they harvested the whole field. Even though you preserved retained the ownership of the land, there can be no chiv pay on you. Why? Because pay is only from your standing and your standing, from your standing on what you've harvested. And you're standing. You're saying what you harvested. And
you're all saying you wait.
Yeah, that's it. Only two things. But not from that which is harvested, that which is harvested. In other words, they already finished the harvest. What are you going to give them? So even the listim didn't cart away or destroy it. If they did the whole field, there's no pay left for you to give. Okay? Now, however, says the Gemara, and here comes a major mistake which I made. What? Even if they left it, since you weren't involved in the harvest, you don't have to leave pay off. It does. Just like if Hekdesh harvest, it's not yours at the time of harvest. Even if they left you the stuff, you didn't get the chiv. You take it, but you don't leave pay off. No big deal.
And there's one more category where you started and list and finished.
No, but you're talking about listen to the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Listen to the whole thing. Yeah, it seems superfluous. I don't know if it's. I don't think it's germane. I think the chiddush. I think it's saying chiddush, even though it's still your land, since you didn't do the kotzer, you're still exempt from payah. It's not germane to the psak. It's telling us a bigger chiddush that even though it's still your land, you still don't have to give payah from it.
But, they stole it. I see.
No, even if they left it there, that's the chiddush. If they stole it, of course you don't have to give payah. But they left it all in the field, since they did the harvest. You don't have to take anything off it, even though you're going to eat the stuff. It's a chiddush. Yankel, you only come here to learn new things. If everything you learned, you could learn here, you knew before, then there's no reason to sit here every night, right? Okay. Says the Gemara. I'm going to show it to you inside. Pamim shumafish mina katsir ala koma. Sometimes you take from kotzir on koma. I made a mistake earlier in this mesechta. I told you it's not possible to take from the harvested on that which is standing. Shamnu bagadnu gozalnu. That mishnah, we had a mishnah back what led me astray was A, my incorrect preconceived notion, but B,
that the Mishnah Daf Chesam and Beis had said and the Gemara then Tesla Beis said, who's that Mishnah going like? He can take Peah after the harvest. It's going like Beishamai, who says you could be Hefker Lanim Hefker. And since Hefkalani and Hefka, so therefore you don't have to take with Shubhas and Mises off it, because it's even though it's not real pay, it's still Hefka. So now I look back after today, after I saw this, and so he paskin in the Rambam Aloch Lemaise, that you can take pay off the harvested sheaves, and it's potter from Maisres, and we are paskin like Bishama Hefkani and Hefka. So I went back and looked at the Mishnah, and saw that there's a different girsa on the side. The different girsa says, so I'm not saying Mishum Peo, the nice same Mishum Hefka. What the Gemara was explaining when saying that Mishnah is going like Beishamai, that Hefkanim Hefker, it was explaining the Musach in the Mishnah which it had, that it's Mishum Hefker. But we paskin that even after your harvest, without the Cheshbin of Hefker, you can still make Peah in the courts here. In other words, if you left Peah out in the field, even one stalk, then there's no Peah subsequently after you harvest, because Peah ain't no shear. But if you didn't leave any Peah out in the field, not even one stalk, then when you harvest, you're still liable to Peah, and that is bona fide through and through, certifiable Peah, it's exempt from ISIS regardless of the Sfar of Hefker. Okay? So that was a major mistake which I made previously. Okay? So, says the Gemara, again, when you have such a case, if you finished your field, the Shear Bakaday Peah, and you left enough for Peah, that's okay. However, once you cut the first stalk, now I think here it should be really shibolas achrona. It means one shibolas though. If you left one shibolas out in the field, that's good enough for Peah. If you cut that shibolas down, however, chazra pelo morim, then where does the Peah go? It ain't in the field anymore. You have to take from the sheaves. Okay,
so again, it's quite clear that I made a mistake. There's no two ways about it. So says the Gemara. Now, Animtza Marfish, as a result of this, we see there's a case of Marfish mina kotzir ala koma. You have cases where you're going to take from that which is harvested and that which is standing. The los of Dovish kila sadeu. Now, this is not only where you forgot and finished off your field. Ella. But even you were a good boy. You said, I'm going to take off Peah. From here on in, it'll be Peah. Right? And then he forgot. And you harvested that all. In other words, let's say you got the last 6 year field, 60th year field. You said, okay, everything else is Peah, I'm going to leave it. Then you suffered temporary amnesia and you started harvesting it. And you harvested the rest of the field. Says the Gemara, in that case also, you might have thought you had Peah, just that you transgressed by harvesting it. No, in that case, what's that locha? You take Peah off from the harvest, from the sheaves, okay? Okay, which cuts the shibolas rishona, once you cut the first shibolas, I'm not sure again what shibolas rishona is, I don't know what rishona, it should be that one shibolas, whatever it is. Chose peah lo marayim, the peah goes to the marayim. That's marfish mina kotzer hakoma. That's a case where you take off from the harvested and that which is standing. Alright, new question. Hamocher, a seller, Mao Shizke Bepeah, you sold the field. You grew grain in the field, you sold it, and now you don't own the field anymore and you're a poor person. You ought to take the Peah from that field which was once yours. Are you allowed to do so?
Of course.
So says the Gemara, Amokha Mao Shizke Bepeah, Shima Teresa Samoroi Omrin, which permits the sheaves. Nishmina minadol. Let's learn it from here. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hey, Mosai, when can a sharecropper not take payah from the field which he's sharecropping? Where he has a, when he gets a percentage of the field, a half, a third, or a quarter, because then he has an interest in the field. He has an interest in the field. It's his field, right?" It's his field, he can't take pay from his own field. Ma beino l'kadmaiso. It says over there that only if you take a percentage is it forbidden for you. What's the difference between that and the first case over there, meaning a case where you're allowed to take pay from the field you're sharecropping? Ella, the case we're allowed to take pay even from a field you're sharecropping is where the owner said to you, look, shatikzer, shlish, there shecha. He said, when you harvest the third, it'll be yours. It's the same arrangement. In both cases, getting a third, but depends how the owner gives him a third. Does the owner give him a third by saying, you have a third of the produce, which means you have a third portion in the field, 33% stake? Or does the owner say, once you harvest the third, that stuff which you harvested grows to you, goes to you? So in that case, I say, oh, in that case, does he have a portion in the field?
Yes.
No, not the latter case. The owner said, after you harvest, it's going to come to you. So in that case, there's no portion in the field. So which case of these two can he take pay on? In the case where I said you have a 33% interest in the field, or in the case where I said after you harvest the harvest, you get 33% of the produce. Which of these two cases can you take pay on?
Second
case, yeah. Because he has no portion in the field.
The first one, he has an interest.
Is that not clear? Yeah? No? In the first case, the owner said to the sharecropper, you have a third interest in the field.
Yeah.
It's partially his field. He can't take pay off. Yeah. It's not a question of gear, but it's his field. It says, from your field, you must leave payah. An Ani who owns a field can't take from his own field. So here he owns a portion of the field. He has a 33% stake in the field. In the latter case, what he's saying is, I'm giving you 33% of the harvest. He doesn't have a stake in the field. He has a share in the harvest. In that case, he can take payout because it's not taking payout from his own field.
I said this before, I think.
Okay, I don't know if he had it before, but it's very logical.
What if he's renting the field?
What? Renting is like owning.
Is it in Kedushin or something?
Jewish law, renting is like owning.
What's the
Kitzir Chol Los is Lakate. If it's Kitzir Chol, you can't take it. Right? Kitzir Chol doesn't just mean you have own part of the harvest, it means the harvest of your field.
That's why. We're saying that he has it.
Okay? So says the Gemara, "I'm Rabbi Bun Barchia." Rabbi Bun Barchia said, "Hoda Omar." This tells you a very interesting thing. Shamoicher zocha bepeo shimateres es omorin. If the mocher can take the peo, that means it's not just that he can demand it. But you can say, I retain the right to the payah when I'm selling you the field. That means that the mocher has a schus in the payah even for it's designated. Which is interesting. It's something we said similar about Matnas Kahuna a few days ago. Matnas Kahuna, our Kamisha Hurmuda, Mataras Kamisha Hurmudamion. So here too, saying it's as if the payah is extant even before it's been set aside. That's why the owner can say, I retain the right to get that payah after I sell you the field. It's as if it exists, even though it doesn't yet exist in actuality. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael said, Tamon, over there, he draws a distinction. He says, Tamon lo yischaiva sodei ubirshuso. Over there, by the case of the sharecropper, where the sharecropper is allowed to take, that's because He never had an interest in the field at all. What did he have an interest in? In the harvest, in the produce. Here, says Rabbi Yossi, you can't do that. Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't work here. It's true the mocher sold the whole field, but the chiyuv was generated when the field was his. Right? The chiyuv pay was generated while the field was still his. If the chiyuv pay was generated while the field was still his, he's got to give it. He doesn't have a choice. Meaning, he's got to relinquish it. He can't keep it to himself. Okay, so here's a machlokas here. Mocher sodeu. Do I say, since he no longer has interest in it, he's like the sharecropper who only had an interest in the harvest, and therefore he gets the, he can't take the payoff, and he is allowed to even maintain the right to the payoff because payoff shalom warmers commission warmer damian. So you can say, as if I was soaking it from the moment you bought it.
Is that, are you saying now that the fact that he has a right in that payoff means he can take it for himself?
Yes.
Have to give it to
no, he can take it for himself. Or do I say no, he can't take it for himself? That's the other side. The other side is say he can't take it for himself because since it grew in his field, it's incumbent upon him as the grower, as the person who generated the chiyuv, to relinquish it to poor people, not to take it for himself. Okay? That's a machlokas. Says the Gemara again. Here, by the sharecropper, wasn't his field. It wasn't his field becoming chayiv in his domain. However, here the field became chayiv in his reshus. Were he to have harvested half his field while he still possessed it, umachar mashekotzar, and he sold that which he harvested, halokeach mutar beleket shicho peo, the lokeach, the buyer, would have been permitted to take the leket shichon peo from the first part of the field. Let me just make sure I'm right about that. No, I mispunctuated that. So, okay, this is a new case. The first case ends with the machlokas. Bramochan is chayva sodei b'rishuso. Now we ask a new shaila. Period. Ilu katzar chatzis sodeu. A person harvested half his field. Umochar mashukatzar. He sold his harvest. Halokeach is the buyer mutar b'leket shichon peya yos. Can the buyer take the leket and shichon peya from the field? Halokeach mao shiizke. No, this is still a statement. No, I'm wrong again. Let's try again. Hopefully there won't be a strike three. Ilukotzer chatzis sodeu. If a person harvested half his field, umachar mashukotzer, he sold that which he harvested, halokech mutar b'leket shichon peah. The lokech, the buyer, is permitted in the leket shichon peah of the first half of the field because he didn't yet have a shaychus, the uncle.
What do you mean by permitted? What is he permitted?
What?
The buyer is permitted or obligated?
The buyer is permitted to take leg shichon peah from the first half. I'll finish in less than 5 minutes. The buyer is permitted to take leg shichon peah from the first half of the field. Because he had no shaykhs that first half of the field. So the lokeach bought the first half of the field. The lokeach bought the rest of the field.
That was not harvested.
That was not harvested yet. So he can take leket shichon peah from the part which was harvested. Right? That's clear. That's partial. What about halokeach mao shiyizkeh bepeah shimater somarim shemocher? This is the question. The lokeach's got to leave peah on the whole field. We learned that already. In the Mishnah, lokeach's got to leave peah on the whole field because the chova of peah is in the last stalk standing in the field, which lokeach is buying. Well, but the thing is like this: lokeach, let's say he designates now a 60th a ratio corresponding to a 60th of the entire field. Let's say he bought it halfway through. So of his 60th, which he designated, half that 60th corresponds to the first half of the field, the second half of the 60th corresponds to the second half of the field. Now, the second half of the 60th corresponds to his part of the field that he can't take, obviously, even though he's poor. Because it's his saw that he set aside the pay, he's got to give it to Aniyim. But what about the first half of the 60th? The first half of the 60th chart corresponds to the Moicher's part, from which the buyer was mutter to take the Lekin and Shichucha. Can the buyer also take that payoff, even though he himself is setting it aside now? That's the Gemara's Kasha. And again, okay, she's a companion, but there's Esamorim Shol Shomoicher. Says more, there's a plukta Rabbi Yehuda Nosi. This is the same machlokas we had between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda Nosi at the end of the previous parak. Because there at the end of the previous parak, we had aloche, if somebody buys, peros klushim from his friend, he buys fruit in a year of Meiser Oni. So the shaila is whether the Oni who bought it can be Zoich in the Meiser Oni. So we had there Machlokes Shin Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Nosi. Rabbi Yehuda Nosi said that even if a person bought it as an Oni, he can't keep it for rabbinic reasons, not for Torah reasons. And Rebbe said if he's a poor person, he does get to keep it. So it would be the same Machlokes. Really, he should be allowed to keep it, because it's really payah of the Mocher. Just happens to be that he has to leave it over for the mocher. But since it looks bad, so therefore we'd have the same machlokas as to whether it be permitted or not. Okay, let's just finish the parak. The Pinchas boy, the Pinchas asks, if you harvest a field of chutzlarts, you harvest your backyard. Here chutzlarts, you chayv and peah. Shalot do you say that it is chayv and peah? Shalot to amano, you shouldn't say, Hektish part of a chutzlaritz potter. Hektish is exempt. Chutzlaritz is exempt. Hektish, however, there's a chiv drabonin, not chiv drabonin, there are cases in which Hektish is chayev. Midoraisa. Which case, where Hektish didn't harvest it. You sold to Hektish and Hektish sold it back to you before they harvested it, right? So in that case, we say you have to give payah, right? So since there's a certain case in which Hektish is chayev, in my Hektish chayev, Av Chutzlaritz is chayev, so maybe also the Chutzlaritz, some cases, are going to be chayev as well. Maybe there's some scenarios in which there is going to be a chiv of Chutzlaritz. Ashkoch Tano, so therefore we found a price that says, Kitzir Artzachem, the harvest of your land, the low Kitzir Chutzlaritz, not the harvest of Chutzlaritz. Kotzer Gizbar Chetzio, getting to Hektish again though, if the Gizbar cut half of it, Chati Chetzio, half of it, half of the half of it, Floy Spiegel Kotzer Sashar, he didn't harvest the rest of it. Acha put his cool up by the time the somebody redeemed it. Marfish mina Kotzer ala Kotzer, so you only have to set aside set aside, you the buyer only have to set aside payah from you what you're harvesting and what you're harvesting. Anything which Hektish had harvested previously, since the harvest was done by Hektish, that's exempt. You don't have to do any setting aside of payah on that. Okay? So Chutzlaritz is potter and Hektish is potter, specifically, however, when Hektish did the harvesting, not just if Hektish owned it at one point. We'll stop here for this evening. Have a good Shabbos.